Is it a virus?
We don't know.
How does it spread? Is it airborne?
Airborne is a possibility. We don't know.
Is this an international health hazard or a military concern?
Both.
Are these people alive or dead?
Hold us down!
We don't know.
You need someone to show you the ropes, huh? And you just come to me.
Today, we will be interviewing T and Veronica Benton. T and Veronica are no strangers to the devastation that pornography can cause in a marriage. Today, they will be telling us a little about their story. T will talk about his past struggle with pornography, and Veronica will share about how this affected her in their marriage. T and Veronica are the founding members of the White Collar Sideshow, a musical group dedicated to talking about the devastation that pornography can cause and how people can break free from it. Today is part one of their interview, here with us on the Covenant Eyes podcast.
I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas, and man, I started doing drugs when I was a young kid.
Oh, really? How
I got
old?
I was seventh grade.
Okay.
Seventh grade. Started smoking cigarettes, smoking weed, drinking. Man, I was a terrible student in school and was grounded all the time, so I always snuck out and, man, really blamed God for a lot of the bad situations that went on in my life. Mm. And, it wasn't that I never believed in God. I just thought he was always out to get me. I went through a lot of suicide and depression. I was in a mental institution by the time I was 14 or 15. And then I went into a lot of rehabs for depression and suicide, like Charter Hospital, you know, saw a lot of psychologists, psychiatrists. But because of all those things, I think creates my character for who I am today. I started dabbling with pornography when I was in third grade. I mean, you know, I didn't have the internet back then. So back in the day, if you had magazines or if your buddies had magazines, you know, you grabbed one and it was your trophy. Hit it under the bed, you know.
Sure.
And showed it off to all your friends. And the funny thing about that is, geez, I can still remember images from all the way back then.
Yeah.
And it's funny how so many things get trapped in your mind. But I was a rough kid, man. I went through a lot. I was a very unhappy person. I didn't know what happiness was.
Mm.
And I let a lot of the music in my life also show who I was. I was grew up on suicidal tendencies, the Misfits, a lot of skateboard music. I was a big skateboard freak. Grew up on Metallica. Man, music was my life. It spoke for me. It was my language. And anybody that wanted to know about me, I'd always play them a song. So,
well, tell us a little about this. Tell us about, did the internet ever then come into play for you when it came to the pornography addiction? Obviously, when you were in third grade, that, you know, that wasn't what was going on. But, you know, later on in life, when the internet was became a more usable, more popular, was that something that factored into your pornography addiction at some point?
Yeah, when I became 20 years old, when I was around 25, this was right after I first got married.
Mm.
I never had the internet. I think my wife always jokes that I had a cell phone, the internet, and an answering machine all at the same time. And I had this technology overload in my life. When we first got the internet, you know, she showed me how to do a few things. But instantly, you know, when I got one of these pop-ups or something, man, I would memorize websites where it would take me, and I would go from 10 o'clock at night till 4 o'clock in the morning on these internet porn binges. I mean, it was unbelievable how much, like, you know, a lot of people say the internet's really well and you can do a lot of things with it, and you can, but my gosh, you can be haunted by the internet, and it can take over your life, and it did for me. Man, it's like the Wild West. There is no laws or regulations. You can find anything at the click of a finger. And that's exactly what I did. I mean, if it was on there, I found it. I found myself on places that I never thought that I would even consider being.
Mm.
And
let's talk to Veronica here for a second, because I'd like to talk to her about how this addiction was discovered. Veronica, how did you discover what was going on in T's life?
Actually, I knew for probably a year.
Okay.
I didn't say anything. For a couple of reasons. First of all, I didn't want to embarrass him because I knew confronting him would completely embarrass him. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I thought it was my fault. I thought that I was not skinny enough, I wasn't pretty enough, I wasn't whatever enough for my husband, so he's having to turn to the internet and look at these women. And
how did that affect you?
Actually, I fell back into bulimia, which is something I'd struggled with a little bit through high school as well as a little bit in college, because I thought that was going to be my solution to get skinny fast, and I would fix me, which would fix the whole problem in my mind, and so I would never have to confront him, and we would just move on from there, and that literally went on for a year, and we both just sunk deeper and deeper into our own little barrel. And obviously it didn't solve the problem. So finally I had counseled with a friend at church, and then I went to a local bookstore, and I realized that was actually the first time I realized that pornography is an addiction. And I got books for him as well as for me dealing with my husband's addiction. And then I also got a book for myself for helping myself with my body image. Mm. And he came to bed that night almost on cue. About 4 a.m, he creeped in, and I had my back to him. And I simply said, I know what you're doing. And I didn't know how he was going to take it. I didn't know what else to say. I just said, I know what you're doing. And he started bawling. And I started bawling. And I knew what he was doing. I didn't know the extent of what it was. Mm-hmm. And I still was very mad. I mean, I still did think it was my fault. For the longest time, I thought it was my fault. But obviously, my solution of falling back into bulimia wasn't fixing the problem. And so I had nowhere else to go other than the confrontation. He later told me, though, like, whenever I found him out and called him out on it, it was like the weight of the world came off of his shoulders, because he no longer had that deep secret hidden in. It was probably one of the most liberating experiences, being found out for him. Mm. And so, you know, we tell people all the time, if you don't have that secret inside of you, Satan's got nothing on you.
Wow.
But as long as you're holding on to that secret, Satan's got a hold on you.
He obviously admitted to it at that point, and then you guys started working through some of these issues. What were some of the big helps for you after all this stuff came out?
Accountability, more than anything. My girlfriend that I had originally confronted, actually she confronted me. She kind of called me out, saying there's something going on, there's something not right, what's going on? And I told her that what T was dealing with, and so she became a huge accountability partner for me, and every day she would be straight up front, be like, okay, did you throw up today?
Mm.
And I needed that. I needed that in my life.
Mm.
And T didn't really ever understand, because he thought I was perfect. And so he never understood why I wanted to be somebody else, because I was perfect in his eyes, which then confused me, because I thought I wasn't good enough for him. And but reading that book, it was called Loving Your Body, and then my accountability through my girlfriend as well as my accountability through my husband was huge. And then as far as he and I, it took a long time to rebuild trust and to be able, even today, here we are six, seven years later, and sometimes I'll still get that little feeling in my gut. And I know it's just the devil just kind of whispering into my life saying, wonder what he's doing. But, I mean, we've got covenant eyes on our computer, so obviously I'm going to know next email I get.
Right.
And he's been amazing. The software has been probably one of the biggest help for us. And so accountability is huge, and that's one of the biggest things that we tell everybody. Because, I mean, every single time that we tell our story, we have people that are going through the exact same thing every time.
Hey, let me ask you a question, T. Veronica's been talking to us here about this accountability issue, that for her, she had someone in her life that came up beside her that was able to hold her accountable also to the issues that she was struggling with personally. But then on top of that, she said that you also were finding some accountability in your own life when it came to pornography addiction. Can you comment on that? What really was, how did that help you?
As far as being online, man, knowing that somebody's watching you is a whole nother ballgame. And to know that that you can get that off your chest is, man, it is the best feeling of all time. And I never knew that, man. And it's like that with any addiction. I mean, you know, if you can get something off of your chest, you can start building that off of that foundation.
For you, what was it that propelled you forward to want to get this kind of accountability? I mean, were you just sort of at the end of your rope with this and you just walked out?
I think I was in a way, I believe I was tired of disrespecting my wife. For some reason, man, I just could not stop. I mean, it was buried in me. It was like my drug, you know, even after all the drug addictions I had. It was like my drug. Veronica, she was my partner. She was not going to let me fall. Most people, the answer is to get a divorce nowadays. And we didn't want that. We had a covenant, and we aren't going to let each other fall because of some stupid little thing. We've got to get rid of it and get our focus back on God. And that's what we decided to do. That's what our challenge was for each other, not just me, but as a team, a marriage as a team. And then we started focusing on that and then challenging other people to do it in their marriages as well.
Was Veronica your only accountability partner in the midst of all this, or did you have other people that came beside you to help you as well?
My pastor was there for me too, on some effect, because he dealt with pornography a lot too, and he shared that openly with everybody else, where he came from and how he got to be in the position he was in. But yeah, it was mostly Veronica. Not that I'm ever going to fall, or not that I'm ever not going to make a mistake again, but the challenge is praying with other people and sharing your story, and man, it just builds into your life. Like, you start to get your focus back again.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to teach, honesty and integrity. Get it off your chest and start teaching about it and make smart decisions, recognizing your temptations.
When you go from just trying to recover yourself to being an agent of change for somebody else, being someone else's accountability partner, being someone who tells your story and helps other people, that is a crucial step in recovery that we've seen. And that's exactly why accountability is so powerful. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I totally agree. This is what I truly believe, that our lives are open books for everybody to learn from our mistakes. And in Christianity, it seems like we all wear these masks. Everything's okay, especially on Sundays. Nobody's ever got any kind of a problem. But as soon as you shut the door and go home, you're back to your normal lifestyle of things on your back and burdens and addictions. And the problem is that we're not able to share anymore because we don't want people to think that God's not working in our lives. But really, that is how God works. We go through those situations in order to change and help other people that are going through the same situation. But we've forgotten how to be honest with each other, I believe. And accountability is really a step to win that back. And just being able to be open and honest with each other is so hard because it does. It makes you look vulnerable. But, man, isn't that what we need?
You've been listening to our interview with T and Veronica Benton of the White Collar Sideshow. Tune in to next week's portion of the interview where they will be talking more about their band and their message. This is Luke Gilkerson, and you've been listening to the Covenant Eyes Podcast.